And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Welcome to hour number two. Our next guest is Colonel David Giamona. Make sure I said that right. Did I, Colonel? Is that correct?
Absolutely. Right on the spot on.
Well, welcome. We appreciate it. You wrote the book along with another individual by the name of Troy Anderson, The Military Guide to Armageddon, Battle-Tested Strategies to Prepare Your Life and Soul for the End Times. And having you on today is probably perfect timing given what we watched happen yesterday.
Absolutely. Our book just was released a couple of days ago, and chaos, mayhem, and everything else is ruling right now. So I think it is a perfect time to talk about these things. Yes.
All right. So as we have listeners listening, and I know it's on everybody's mind, what do we do next? Where are we going as a country? What do we do personally as individuals to prepare for whatever comes next? And, I'm one that Colonel says that we should be prepared no matter what's going on, even as far as the presidency is concerned. So give us some of those life tips, I guess I should say, not just, for us here in the U.S., but, around the globe. We've got people that listen all over the place. How do folks prepare for this?
Well, it's a great question, and I just want to back up a little bit and say that, the Military Guide to Armageddon is really all about preparedness, and you're exactly right. We should always be ready for whatever is to come, whether it's a natural disaster, political upheaval. The world really now is in a precarious place, and it's going to get more precarious as we go on. So what do we do to get ready? Well, the book really addresses 15 chapters of really what it's going to take to be, we call, battle ready. In Korea right now, our army has a motto. It's called Fight Tonight. They're able, willing, trained, ready to fight at a moment's notice because they are prepared for it. They have the equipment, they have the training, they have the doctrine. If I were to go to your house tonight and hand you a rifle and say, hey, let's go to war, normal people would say, what do I do with this? How do I? I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. And that's exactly the question or the comment, that you should make. You're not prepared. You're not ready. So what should we do? First and foremost, the book is really about the end times and preparedness for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't want to make any bones about that. I don't know who is listening and what they're listening to. But the fact of the matter is, first and foremost, my trust is not in a president. It is not
Amen.
In the government.
Amen.
It's not in anybody.
Right.
It has to be
That's
in
right. Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
So if my trust is in something else, it's misplaced. So that's the first thing you have to be ready. The first thing is, where are your priorities? What are you following? What are you listening to? And what are you doing every day? Where do you put all your time in? I'll stop there and just pause, and maybe you have a comment.
No, I think what you just said, in fact, we talked a little bit about this yesterday on the program, Colonel, and what you said is exactly right. And, I'm afraid at times, the conservative side, and it happens on both sides, it's not just the conservative side, but we put our faith and our hope and our trust in some leader that comes along. And while I've been a huge Trump fan and I appreciate every single thing he's done, I, for one, know that he's not perfect. He's got faults like I have faults, like you have faults. None of us are perfect. I can't put my trust and hope in Donald Trump. I think he's been a great president. I look at the president as somebody that I hire to run the country. I don't look at him as the ultimate, supreme leader that I need to bow down and worship. That's not how I see Donald Trump. I know he has faults just like the rest of us do. And ultimately, the only buddy that I know of that has no faults that I can worship is what you said a moment ago, Colonel. That's the my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord in heaven is ultimately on the throne, and he's the one that's going to guide us through all of this. And I've got to put my faith in him, not in some political power.
No, that's exactly right. Do I want Joe Biden to be our leader? Absolutely not. Do I want the Democrats in control? No. I don't want any
No,
of that.
Me neither.
I was under,
well said.
I was under Obama for 8 years as in the United States Army, and his leadership was extremely poor. And he tried to disassemble the military and tried to make it into something it is not. If we had been in a fight with China or Russia, we would have lost. I hate to tell you that, but generals would agree with me at that point. The fact of the matter is, no, I'm not a big supporter of the left. They're going to be in power the next 4 years. And so you know, if I'm going to just focus on that, my life is going to be a total mess. But, you know, my life, my
well, and real quick, I want to stop you, Colonel. Great conversation, by the way, I appreciate what you just said, because I too felt the same way this morning. I'm like, listen, you know, I woke up the morning after, you know, Obama won, and as a business owner at that time, and still am, but as a business owner, thought, wow, you know, we've got another four, you know, we've got 4 years, I should say, of some things business wise that we're going to have to do under Obama. Well, then he won a second time, and I had to do it all over again. And I knew people at the time that were extremely distraught over the second winning of Obama. But, you know, I guess what I looked at even yesterday is I made it through 8 years of Obama. I can make it through 4 years of Biden.
Well, I really want to be honest with you and straightforward. You know, a lot of Christians are misplaced their hopes, I believe, in America especially. They're putting their hopes in the system. They're putting their hopes in the government. And look, I fought for the flag in the United States Army for 32 years. So I think I have the right to say this. And I've been in three wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and in Kuwait as well.
Thank you, by the way.
It's my pleasure to do it. And it's not a brag. It's just a fact that, you know, after fighting for the nation and for the flag and for our fellow countrymen, fact of the matter is, you know, you learn real quickly in war, it's black and white. When bullets are flying, you don't really care what's behind you. You care who's on your left and your right, your buddies, and you're fighting for them. And it's the same in America right now. You know, we have been playing patty cake in church for years, and pastors have been telling us, they've been lobbing us softballs. They've been saying, hey, everything's going to be all right. You know, we're going to go up in the rapture, and I'll talk about that later. And you know, we're going to escape this. But, you know, right now there are millions of believers around the world that are facing persecution, life and death every day.
Amen.
China, North Korea, Iraq, Iran, you know, you name it, and they're facing it. It's coming to our country. And the church is not prepared and not ready. Hence, we wrote the book at the Lord's direction. He said, when the book is published, people will want to read it because the world will be a different place.
Well, I appreciate you writing it. And I think I can already kind of tell where you're coming from, because I think you and I think a lot alike. And I, for one, have felt for a very, very long time and was not raised this way. But I have felt for a very long time now that, no, the church will not be immune, and Christians will not be immune from tribulation and trials and the things that will happen there. And I'm not a pre-tribulation rapture guy. That's just not who I am. I'm not going to get into that on this show, because it's not what this audience is about. But I think you and I are probably in agreement there. I do think that, you know, why do we get a pass, I guess, is what I would ask, Colonel.
Yeah, and you know what? We don't. I mean, the country was really founded on solid principles, and really, if you go back to our forefathers, the only way to run the country is have Christians, you know, or people who believe in God, the Judeo-Christian ethic, and those kinds of moral people to really run the country and be in part of the country. But now the country is full of all kinds of different religions, nationalities, all kinds of things that, you know, are conflicting. And so many people are asking me, you know, Colonel, are you afraid of what's going to happen to America? Are you afraid of what's going to happen? And my answer is no, I am not afraid. I am battle ready. I face death. I understand where I'm going if I were to die. And in the next 4 years, 8 years, whatever it may be, and I don't know the future of America and what's really going to happen, but the fact of the matter remains that we have to be strong in our faith. We have to be strong in who we believe in. And, you know, socialism may come to this country. People may really get what they want. They're voting for those kinds of things. Once they get them, they're going to be very unhappy about their lives, and that's going to cause a lot of turmoil in people's hearts and their souls.
Well, just so you know, I downloaded just now as we were talking the audio book. I listen to a lot of audio books because I have a lot of windshield time to and from the station even. So I just downloaded the audio book. So I'll get a listen to that here in the next few days. And I'm actually excited to listen to it. So as we go through, though, some of these things that folks should prepare for, give us a couple of tips.
Okay. So the first tip is make sure you got your priorities straight. What is it you're living for? That would be very important. So when we train soldiers, when we bring them the basic training, the first day we indoctrinate them into Army doctrine. How are you going to fight? How do you obey orders? how do you fight, you know, with your weapon, and, you know, on and on it goes. It's training, 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 along with a lot of doctoring, a lot of education. So in 9 weeks, we transformed that recruit from a civilian into a warrior. And then we give them advanced training a year after that, and then we deploy them to war. But the fact that this is the important thing for us to remember as believers, we have to get first things first. So if you want to be battle ready, as we say in chapter 2, and you want to understand what the military guide to Armageddon is all about, you get your priorities straight with the Lord, and then you learn the weapons of your warfare. What has God given us? He has given us what many people have on their shelves in their homes around the world. They have the Word of God, but they don't read the Word of God. I don't understand it, but, you know, there is a life line to us. There's the doctrine. There's the thing that's going to keep us from committing all kinds of grievous errors against God. So the Word of God is really important piece, and prayer is an extremely powerful weapon that we have not learned to use in the church in America, especially, because prayer is talking to God and God talking back to me. Yes, he does speak to you. If you will just sit back and listen and get some time, he'll speak through maybe your spouse, your friend, your circumstances. He'll speak through the Word of God. So, you know, getting the weapon of warfare tuned up is really important in these last days. There's a few things, there's a lot more to talk about. We could talk about the fog of war, the center of gravity, you know, knowing your enemy. I mean, on and on it goes in order to become battle ready.
I'll tell you what, you know what? I've got another segment. Have you got time to hang with us?
I do.
You know what? Hang tight. We'll come right back and we'll do just that. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next, folks. Kurt Rogers, if you're looking to do something different with your mortgage, give Kurt a call today. He'd love to help. 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, RoofMax is next. Dave Hart, who's the owner there, and if you're looking to save money on your roof, in other words, get it inspected, if it needs anything, Dave can do a rejuvenation of the roof, not a replacement, and he can tell you whether or not your roof qualifies for that, saving you literally tens of thousands of dollars in some cases. Give him a call today at 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Hi, this is Scott Watley with Sportsman of Colorado. Join us every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. Each week, we'll bring you local outfitters and experts on how to make your next outdoor adventure a success. Looking for a place to hunt on your own? We've got you covered. Want to book a trophy deer or elk hunt with a reliable outfitter? We can help. and we'll also get you ready for the upcoming big game season. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado. Sportsman of Colorado, Saturdays at 1, right here on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Colonel David Giamona with us. He is the co-author of Military Guide to Armageddon. Colonel David, thanks. Welcome. Thanks for hanging over the break with us. I do appreciate it. We did have a caller call in and wanted to know how to actually get the book, which we haven't talked about, and or how do folks find out more about you and where to find you?
Well, that's real simple. The book is everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Hudson News, and the airports, anywhere books are sold, you can get the book. And as far as me, there's a lot of stuff on me. If you go to my author webpage, davidjgiamona.com is a good start. The book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, is on Facebook. So is my name. If you want to look me up at Facebook, Twitter, same thing, Giamona DJ at Twitter. So there's a lot of stuff. And we have a website called battle-ready.org,
okay.
battle-ready.org, and that's all about the book and what we're doing to prepare people for the end times.
Perfect. And by the way, those of you listening, it's spelled G-I-A-M-M-O-N-A. All right, talk about the center of gravity.
Oh, okay. So back in World War II, you know, the Allies were trying to figure out how do we win the war in Europe against Adolf Hitler and the, you know, fortified Europe. The only way to do that was a frontal assault on Normandy. And so we put all of our apples in that. I mean, 4,000 ships, you know, the 101st Airborne Division, 82nd, everybody, the Allies were all there. And we hit them as hard as we could because General Eisenhower knew one thing. If we could assault Normandy, we could break their will. We could get into the beachhead and start winning the war. And that's exactly what happened. That was Hitler's center of gravity, their fortifications along the coast against England. So there is a center of gravity for all of us and for our enemy. Our center of gravity, if you're reading the book, really is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not just a priority, he is everything. And the Bible says he holds all things together.
Mm-hmm.
He holds, you know, the universe
right
together. So he is the center of gravity for everything. In the world today, the center of the city, which is the center of gravity, is Jerusalem. Israel is the number one. I was just there before COVID broke out there. But Jerusalem, you can keep your eye on Jerusalem and Israel because that's the center of gravity for the planet. And for our enemy, there's a chapter called Knowing Your Enemy,
mm-hmm,
and we kind of lay out there is a supernatural enemy called the devil. You know, people
right
want to make fun, you know,
right,
red suit and the horns, but there is a huge supernatural god of this world, and he's playing, three-dimensional chess while we're trying to learn how to play checkers.
Right.
So we're up against a huge enemy. That's our center of gravity. It's not Joe Biden. It's not the Congress. It's not, you know, Nancy Pelosi, although we don't really like what they're doing. They're being controlled by forces of this globe that's trying to put a one-world government together. And more to follow on that, but that's just the start of Knowing Your Enemy.
Good stuff. Again, folks, the author we're talking to you right now is Colonel David J. Giamona, and again, it's G-I-A-M-O-N-N-A, Military Guide to Armageddon. Yeah, this has been great, Colonel. In fact, love to have you back in the future, maybe even get you where we can do maybe a full hour on a lot of these things. I really want to get you on and talk about even just now the you know, we've talked a lot here about some of the spiritual aspects of it, what we need to do to prep ourselves that way. But I know there's the physical aspect. Unfortunately, I'm running out of time. I'd love to get you back and maybe talk about some of those physical things folks could be doing and getting prepared for.
Yeah, that's part of the book, and I absolutely love to do it. Just give me a holler back,
okay,
and we'll get back on.
We will do that. I'd love to have that. I thought you would, quite honestly, we're looking for some of that as we headed into 2021 anyway, so this fits perfectly. I'll do that. We'll get you back on, and looking forward to it, sir.
Hey, God bless. Thanks,
hey, thank you
me
very much. I do appreciate it. Again, folks, the book is Military Guide to Armageddon. You can get it on Amazon. I'm looking at it as we speak right now. And by the way, it comes in Kindle, audio, hardcover, paperback. It's easy. And if you're an audio guy like me, where that, for me, in a lot of cases, is easier, it's available that way as well. Purify Chevrolet, folks, coming up next. and they want to help you with all of your new and used car purchases. I say it all the time. It really is like going back in time to buy a car. But even just the look, the feel of the dealership, what it's like when you walk in, the atmosphere, all of that is what I'm talking about. It's not this high-pressure palace that you're used to when you go to buy a car. It literally is like going back in time. Highway 52 and Highway 85 in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311, or find them at purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial. As we just talked to the Colonel there a moment ago about being prepared, prepared, let me say that correctly, prepped or prepared. You know what, financially speaking, you need to be doing the same thing. So get with Al, make that happen as well. He's a financial advisor, and he'll help you as we head through 2021 and beyond. KLZradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
I've taken to praying before I walk into this studio every single day. And my prayer today is that we can continue to have some perspective despite the pain and the anger that millions and millions of people are feeling. I hope we have a little bit more light than heat.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We're back. We're trying to get a special guest to join us here. If we can get connected, we will. Andrew Harnick is his name. He's actually a photojournalist with the Associated Press, with the AP, and he was actually there yesterday and kind of has some firsthand knowledge of what went on, and we're just really trying to connect with him to just really hear his story, see what happened, what he experienced while he was there. And I'm actually anxious to see if we actually do, in fact, get him on air with us. Charlie's getting him on the line right now, it looks like, so we should be able to get him to join us here in just one moment. And as we do, we'll get him on and talk to him as well. By the way, once we do that, I'll have probably a segment or so left where we can take some calls if need be. The 5 o'clock hour, David Williams will be joining us, president of Taxpayers Protection Alliance. We'll be talking to him at 5 o'clock as well. But right now, Andrew Harnick is joining us. Andrew, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thanks for joining us. And I do appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us. I know you're busy. You were there, though, on the ground yesterday with everything that happened in D.C., and I'm assuming taking pictures since you're a photojournalist with the AP. Talk about your experience, if you would.
Well, the day started off pretty normal in Washington. Protests outside and members of Congress working inside. And I was inside. I thought I had a pretty easy day. I was wearing a shirt and tie and We had colleagues outside covering the protests outside, and that was pretty much what it was expected to be. And towards the afternoon, as debate was going on about the Electoral College vote,
right,
which is really just a procedural thing.
Correct.
I got a phone call from an editor who said, "Hey, you know, things are starting to get a little dicey on the east front of the Capitol." And he said, "Don't go too far. Just see if you could grab a camera and see if you could see what something out of the windows there." So I grabbed my camera and found a big window, and I could see that it really was quite a big gathering. And they were trying to make their way up the center steps on the east front, and there was a police line kind of trying to keep them from doing that. And eventually, within just a matter of minutes of me standing there photographing, the line broke, and people kind of streamed up onto this portico, and right to the main doors that lead you right into the rotunda, which is the big center space in the center of the Capitol building. If you've ever seen any sort of laying in state, you know, this is the room that is used. From that point on, I couldn't really see far enough. I couldn't really see down below me. I could really only see more out, but I could hear windows. I could hear glass breaking. I could hear cheering from the crowd. And pretty soon after that, I heard an enormous explosion, which I assumed was some sort of flashbang, either used by the police, used by the crowd. And I could see smoke rising. So I left that window, and I went downstairs to see if I could see what was happening at the door. By the time I got down there, the rotunda was completely quiet, not a person in there, but I could see people through the window, and there were heavily armed security guards kind of almost sandwiched in against the door outside where this huge gathering was kind of pressing them up, trying to gain entrance to the building. What I didn't realize was, we all found out later, multiple security entrances had been breached, and a large number of people basically had free rein to the building.
So some of the protests were basically inside just, and I think there's even video footage of some of this where they were able to just pretty much roam around and do whatever they wanted to, and really, in some cases, not even knowing where they were. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, that's right. There were photographers that spent the afternoon, you know, kind of documenting what these people were doing out there. My job was really to kind of stay close to what was happening on the House floor. So I didn't really want to pursue that.
Right.
I tried to go back to the House floor, and I came upstairs to the third floor another photographer to try to get back into. There's a small office space where journalists can work off of the House floor, and you know, I found that door locked, and nobody was responding to the knocks, and pretty soon a police officer kind of started yelling at us, "Why are you here? You know, this building is in lockdown. You need to get out of here." And we said, "Where do we go?" And so they ran and found a door open, and they said, "You know, run down this hallway." And pretty soon we found ourselves on the house, in the House chamber, on the third floor gallery, looking down at the House floor. And the members of Congress were still in there at the time, and they were being instructed to take out gas masks from underneath their seats. And, you know, they said, "You don't have to put them on yet. Just kind of get them out
right
and hold on to them." And at that point, I noticed that members of the security force inside the room, you know, they're wearing shirt and a suit and tie, and, you know, they have kind of pistols. And
right.
They were wedging their feet against the main door to the House chamber. And pretty soon they started grabbing any furniture they could from the room and stacking them in front of the door to create a barricade. Hmm. And then, we started hearing these popping noises, and we soon realized that there were people on the other side of that door breaking glass and trying to break into the room. At that point, the security forces drew their guns and basically started a shouting match with the protesters on the other side of the door. And they immediately started evacuating members of the House at that point from the House floor, and they all made their way out of the building down into the basement. Now, for those of you who have never been to the Hill, when you hear the Hill, it's not just the Capitol building itself. It's a huge network of office space connected by tunnels that run to and from the Capitol building itself. So those tunnels were what members of the House used to exit the building. Hmm. So for us on the gallery floor, they actually didn't have the hallways secured, and we were kind of stuck in there. And typically, members of the House aren't up there, but because of COVID restrictions,
right?
They were using that space to allow as many members of Congress to be in the room as possible. So we were actually, shoulder to shoulder with members of Congress. And because we weren't really able to go anywhere, security force, were shouting to get down and your hands and knees and keep your head down. So we were basically in that position for quite a while until they were able to secure the hallways outside and let us out of there. When we were escorted out, you could see I saw maybe four or five people in the hallway with their hands, they were face down on the floor with their hands on their head and police officers pointing guns at them. So it was they really had free rein over the building.
What was the feeling like inside of the chambers when everybody was there and they were telling everybody to get down on the ground and so on? Was it order? Was it panic? I mean, what was the atmosphere like at that point?
I'm sorry. I think I just lost you for a second. I think you were asking what the what it felt like in
there. What was the atmosphere like inside of all of that while that was going on?
Yeah, there was some tension. I would say tension was the main the main feeling going on. Members of the police force up there with us, they didn't really know what was going on outside of the chamber. Those doors were locked, and they were trying to establish a communication of what was happening outside the room.
Right.
Members of Congress, all the emotions, it was a range of emotions. Some people were scared. Some people were angry, and others kind of tried to, take charge and help the security force.
Sure.
Calm other members down.
Sure.
So it was.
How long did, and by the way, everybody listening, we're talking to Andrew Harnick. He's an AP photographer, photojournalist. It was actually at the, there to actually, do what he does as a job for the protest and the day's events and so on. And then, was caught with everything that actually happened yesterday. And I appreciate you joining us, Andrew. How long were you guys in there in that particular state?
It's hard for me to say, but it felt like maybe between 10 and 20 minutes.
Okay.
By the time I was kind of taken and put in that room and we were taken out of there. But Congress filed out in a pretty orderly fashion. And pretty soon I found myself walking down that same tunnel with members. The members went into sort of a secure large room in one of the office buildings, and eventually a member of Congress opened up his offices to maybe a dozen or so journalists to kind of, you know, sit and recuperate and wait for the lockdown to end. But you know, that the day you know, after all of this commotion, eventually the Congress was asked to return to the Capitol building and resume their their work. They still had 4 or 5 hours of work to do, to procedural work to get to get through. And journalists were allowed to return with them. And so I was we were covering that. The photographers, it's the photography in that, in the actual room.
You still with us, Andrew? Did we lose you?
Yep.
No, there you go. No, you're still there. So then your day basically consisted of, you know, going back in and continuing to cover everything that happened, you know, after they all went back to work, I assume, or did you go back outside and able to capture any of the images or anything outside, or you know, what was the rest of your day like?
Well, I was asked to stay with Congress, and we, you know, the Associated Press has a large staff, and there were photographers whose job it was to be outside covering that, and really yesterday my job was to be with Congress. But you know, as this procedural work went on, I did have some time towards the 1 a.m. hour to grab a camera and kind of walk the building. The building was open to me, and I could kind of take pictures of what had happened and assess the damage to the building. And you know, it was, for as somebody who's worked in D.C. as a photographer for 18 years, nothing like this has ever happened. Some of the older guys who have worked with me, you could say the same. I mean, it's generations and something like this has happened.
Well, significance of the damage? I mean, was it spotty here and there, or was it pretty much rampant, you know, throughout the Capitol building?
There was a layer of what I would say is some sort of chemical dust. It was, I think maybe chemical fire extinguishers had been extinguished and I don't know what other chemicals, but it was,
sure,
it was a dusty, dirty floor, with debris, strewn, in the rotunda and in various sort of corridors in the Capitol building. Some boarded up windows where they had been broken through, some broken furniture and pews. And you could see members of the House and the Senate, senators, walking the halls, kind of looking at things. I came upon Senator Tim Scott, who's a Republican from the Carolinas.
Yep.
And he, he was kind of stopping to look at what had happened.
By the way, I believe I saw your image of that. I believe that was published, and I saw that today, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah. And I also saw, I don't know if you also saw this image, there was a younger congressman who I found in the rotunda by himself, just picking up trash with a big trash bag, picking up debris that had been left behind, and very, very armed police officers stopped what they were doing and helped him kind of clean up the rotunda.
I did not see that one. I will look for that, though. That's a pretty amazing image. Andrew, again, I do appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know yesterday was not a day that, you know, I know myself personally. I talked about it yesterday. I'll talk about it again today. Not something we wanted to see as a country. I know people are frustrated. I get that. I'm sympathetic to a lot of the frustration, and I understand that frustration on both sides, but still I'm not happy with what happened yesterday, and it should not have.
Okay, great talking with you.
Andrew, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us, and keep up the great work, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And yeah, folks, I'll say it again. What he saw and experienced and what was going on there, that should not have taken place. I said that yesterday. I said it again today, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll probably go to the grave saying it. And I think it's a black mark and a stain. I know some of you would disagree with me on that, but I think that's a stain on our country that I don't want to see. That's not the way we should be handling things. And it really was nice to get a firsthand account from him as to, you know, even what went on and how things were handled and, you know, the life that was lost. I think there were several lives lost, some that were, I think, health reasons more than anything else. But the one young lady that was shot, those things should not have happened yesterday. So not a good day for the country. And I talked a lot about that yesterday. We'll talk more about it here as we go through the rest of this hour and even into next. American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger and insurance folks, it's really important to have, and especially as we go through the times we're in now. And I've been watching even, you know, next door around where I live, and it seems like every single day, I'm not exaggerating in this, every single day it seems like somebody is reporting some sort of a burglary or a break-in or somebody casing their place. And you got to make sure you're insured, folks, because if not, it could be devastating. So call Paul today. Make sure you're properly insured. 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
Extreme Auto Repair, don't forget, Cooper Tires at Cost. We got some weather coming in this weekend, and you just need to make sure your vehicle's always in top working order. And don't forget about one of the great, they've got a coupon that they actually sell. They pre-sell lots of services on, and it would be a great thing for you to look at as well. KLZradio.com, 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Americans expect transparency from our government. Apparently, Joe Biden didn't get the memo. Joe Biden's climate team is now assembled, but one aspect of his team did not receive the attention it deserves. Kim Munson here. Friday, Executive Director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, sheds light on Biden's newly created, out of thin air, Office of Domestic Climate Policy, which allows him to advance his controversial climate agenda behind closed doors. Find out what this means for you and your family Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Want to learn how to speak clearly, effectively, and persuasively? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at KimMunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Bill in Boulder, you're up. What's going on, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, John. You know, I've enjoyed the lineup so far today, especially having Steve House and then the AP photographer. And as I was listening to those stories, I just kept thinking about the arc of current American history, where we went from, you know, the early 1900s, where people would have picnic lunches on the lawn of the White House, to what we saw yesterday in the Capitol building.
Right.
And I take that, and then I put that against what something Steve said today. You know, the typical democracy lives like 250 years. And I don't want to sound like a downer, but, you know, when you look at that and you look at just kind of the slide of our society, you know, kind of going back to that phrase, slouching towards Gomorrah, and defining deviancy down from, Robert Bork's, book of the same name, you know, what's the trajectory? And does it continue on of our society? I mean, does it continue on this path that we've kind of see kind of play out over the past 100, 120 years? Or what turns us around, you know?
That's a great question. Yeah. And you guys know me, and I think, Bill, you know my right. position. Really, I think it comes down to, you know, to us. And what I mean by us is, you know, as conservatives, even as Christians, you know, how do we respond? What do we do? You know, I think the Colonel had some great points yeah. on, you know, how the church has even responded in the last, you know, 15, 20 years when it comes to some of these things. I mean, we have got a lot of work to do. And, Bill, if we don't switch the tide, yeah, I think we do lose the country, and it does go away into something else if we don't somehow, you know, stand up and fight. And what I mean by stand up and fight is not with, you know, with guns and ammo and doing what happened yesterday. I mean fight right. as in taking back over, you know, the public education system and changing some things that we have, and people becoming more involved in their kids and their families and the real training of what goes on in young people's lives. And frankly, Bill, I'll just be the first to say I think many Christians mm-hmm. have even failed in that area.
Something that the Colonel actually said that really kind of caught me flat-footed was he was talking, you asked him how to prepare. And he said, the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, what are you living for?
Right.
And that really kind of floored me. I'm single. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm not a Christian, admittedly. And that question really gave me pause. What is it that yeah. I am living for?
Yeah. Great question.
You know, I think it's my friends. It's my family that I do have. It's my country. It's, you know, not to sound corny, but it's the Constitution.
Right.
It's a great living document. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are living for, hey, can I get that pair of hot pink yoga pants?
Yes, Bill. You know, I think you're spot on. That's you know, they're living for the next material possession they can lay their hands on.
Yeah. And so with that kind of framework of our populace, how do you move forward with that?
Because it's a great question, especially, and I know yeah. we're getting tight on time, but this is a great question. We need to come
right.
back, and you could welcome to call back even at about the 5:15 mark. We could talk more about this. This is a great topic, by the way, Bill, because honestly, I think we're going to have a great expansion economically in the not-too-distant future, yep. which does nothing more than just fuel what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know what? Do that, Bill. I'm going to take a break. You know,
I will.
I've got the taxpayer, David Williams, Taxpayer Protection Alliance president, coming on at 5. Once I'm done with him, this dovetails right in with what he's going to talk about as well. Let's do that. Call me back at 5:15. Let's have more conversation. I'd love to.
Can do. Appreciate
All right,
it,
let's do it. We'll talk more at 5:15, Bill. I appreciate it. Great conversation, by the way. Something that we need to take a little time on because you know, where do we go from here? That is ultimately the question. A good shop is up next, folks, but in this particular case, it's not a It's a material possession you currently own, but it's also the transportation that gets you to and from. And by the way, the better care you take of that vehicle, even in the collision end of things, the more value you have in the vehicle. And protect your assets, folks. That's what this is about. Make sure you get your vehicle fixed properly in the way that you want and control the process. You do that at a good shop. Go to a good shop. By the way, it's klzradio.com or find them at 720-541-7697.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales. So in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding A Good Shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, that about does it for this hour. Keep in mind, if you ever miss any of our hours, you can always catch them via our podcast. Find them right on the website, RushToReason.com, or on the KLZ Radio app. They're listed there as well. When we come back, though, top of the hour, David Williams will join us, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, and then we'll get Bill back on, talk about the subject we just left a moment ago, which is where do we go from here? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.